Hello, it is Hing here. Oh man, this is such a great episode of the podcast. We had a really, really great guest. His name is Jordan Morris. He's from the United States of America. You might have heard of it. He's one half of a podcast called Jordan Jesse Go that was one of the things that made Ben and I want to get into podcasting when we were back at uni, like years ago. Jordan was so kind with his time. So if you enjoy this episode, please send him something nice on social media to let him know this wasn't a complete waste of his time. In this ep, though, you're going to hear Jordan doing a little bit of promo for his upcoming graphic novel, Bubble, which is based on a super funny podcast of the same name that he made a few years ago. If you're a fan of that show or of him, you can pre-order it to anywhere in the world from booksoup.com. And Jordan wanted to mention that there are signed copies of it available from there for pre-order. There's a link in the podcast description. And also, if you're in Sydney, I've started a new improv night because I wanted to. I just wanted a place to do fun improv with really funny, cool people. Friday nights at Improv Theatre Sydney in Redfern. The show is called The Instagram Show. We grab people out of the audience. We put their Instagram account up on a projector. We ask them about it, and then we just do scenes on that. We just did the first one on Friday. It is so fucking funny. Sometimes we're going to have special guests. Sometimes people will let us read their DMs. It's going to be a fucking wild ride. And the cast is all people you'd know from Free to a Good Home or our other podcast, Dragon Friends. On Friday, we had like Tom Walker, Alex Lee, Claire Kavanagh, all people who you'd know from Fatagha. This week, I think Ben's doing it. Eden, I think you might know from Dragon Friends. Anyway, brand new improv show, ITS in Redfern. You can get tickets from the Improv Theatre Sydney website. All right, let's get to the show. Bye! Hello, everybody, and welcome to Free to a Good Home, a podcast about classifieds. My name is Michael Hing, and joining me is a man who I think has just had a lovely haircut. It's Ben Jenkins. Hello, Ben.
You know what I've done, Michael? I haven't had a haircut. I've slicked my hair back, which is nature's haircut.
It looks great.
That was the most professional opening to this podcast you've ever done, and I know it's because you're trying to impress our guest, and I think that's really sweet.
I am. I'm desperately keen to impress our guest. We're big fans of his, obviously. You would know him from his podcast, Jordan Jesse Go, from his other podcast, Bubble, which is now a graphic novel about to be released in July. It's Jordan Morris. G'day, Jordan. How's it going?
Hi. It's great to be here. And boy, I hate to burst your bubble early, but that haircut thing sucked, man. That was really... I mean, where do we go from there? Ugh.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm sorry, you were trying, I could tell.
It was just so sweaty. Yeah. You're like, Jordan's going to love those haircuts.
That's the word, isn't it, Jordan? Isn't it? It was sweaty is what it was. It was really...
And it felt a little taunting. I should say, I'm in America, and you Australians flaunting how you can just go get haircuts willy-nilly. Yeah, our country is so good at our pandemic response.
So it wasn't just, you know, bad chat. It was insulting.
Yeah.
And I want to get ahead of it.
I guess that was really what I was doing. It was a taunting power play by me. I thought, I'll start the podcast and really try and alpha it over you, Jordan. You're like, yeah, we can get a haircut whenever we want here in Australia.
Look at me kissing and hugging my loved ones. Eating wherever I please.
I have a friend. I have a friend who exclusively gets haircuts at night.
Okay.
Well, that's illegal, surely. Surely that's illegal.
That's my thing. It's one of those things where it's like, I can't pinpoint what's wrong about that, but it's so unsavory.
It feels sinister, doesn't it?
It does, doesn't it?
It's like at a place where you have, like, maybe there's a secret knock, you know, it's a barber shop you do the shave and a haircut knock, and then you get a shave and a haircut from a shifty character who's awake at 9 p.m.
It's really hard. It is not, Jordan. It's 9 p.m. I'm not talking about like the witching hour. Like, it's well and truly like sun's down.
Don't like it.
And he's up there getting a haircut. Don't like it at all. But welcome. Have you ever been to Australia, Jordan?
No, I never have. I hope
and
to
you
go
never
someday.
Will.
Oh man, this is how I find out.
Yeah. Well, welcome to sort of virtual Australia, where, as you say, things are sort of normal-ish right now. We were talking to Matt Christman last week, who's in California as well, And he was saying that things are sort of opening up there a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. So people are getting vaxxed. We're moving into another tier where we were in the orange tier, and I think we're going into the yellow tier, which is confusing. I'm sure. I'm not even clear on what I can and can't do, but it seems to be trending in a nice way. I've got both of my vaxes, and I'm kind of like waiting for immunity. And things. You know, I think everyone's cautiously optimistic that, you know, maybe during the summer we'll be able to do some normal stuff and see loved ones and you know, lick the sidewalk like we used to, and
just like you used to,
just do all that fun stuff.
And how has your pandemic been? Has it been like, have you been going stir crazy? Have you like,
yeah, have you lost your have you lost your mind, Jordan Morris?
Yeah, some light madness, I would say. I would call them madness light. I guess I've been lucky in a lot of ways. My like, you know, my immediate family, you know, has stayed safe. I haven't had any like, you know, huge personal losses. I was able to kind of stay modestly, mildly employed during everything. So yeah, I had an okay time as far as pandemics go. But yeah, definitely like, I feel like I'm insane. And living alone is its own kind of insanity during all of this. You know,
sure,
I'm definitely
sure.
talking to the cat a lot. And
who I just saw in the background.
Yeah,
there.
She did a little prance by.
A little showboat.
We are obviously glad to hear that you've been staying safe, but also during lockdown, I guess something you've been working on and is about to be released is the graphic novel of your podcast Bubble. Which is coming out in July, which is so exciting.
Yeah, thank you. No, it's nice, nice of you to bring it up in such a cool way. So I in 2018 made a sci-fi comedy podcast called Bubble with a lot of other cool writers, actors, directors, etc. And it's kind of the story of a kind of near future where everybody lives in a bubble city, and those bubbles are tailored to like lifestyles. So, a lot of the story takes place in the hipster bubble where there's great coffee and cool vintage shops. Sort of like, you know, the American version would be like a Portland or a Silver Lake. What is your guys' local? This is where the young creative types live.
See, Australia is so parochial that it depends on your city, and it depends where you're doing the joke from.
Mm.
Like, if you're doing the joke in Melbourne, you have a different city to if you're doing the joke in Sydney. But I would say that, like, broadly speaking, you're describing, like, North Melbourne.
Yeah.
Is that the right thing?
Yeah, Brunswick or, you know, Newtown or something.
So when you do come here, Jordan, and you have to do local gear... that's what you should sub in.
Okay, no, thank you. No, this is good. I should be writing this down. Yes, for the international book tour that hopefully will happen at some point. Yeah, I'm like, this is a real North Melbourne story.
Well, the other thing about Australia is because of our incredibly insane housing market right now, which I think is happening in a lot of places in the world. All of the cool places.
People are going gaga for houses.
Yeah, they freaking like, love houses for some reason, these idiots.
People can't stop living in houses. The big trend for 2021.
Yeah. Do you remember the Beanie Baby craze? Well, we're having that right now, but right. For sort of dwellings.
It's a Beanie Baby that you live in? Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, it's millennials.
So it was a podcast, and
which, by the way, if you haven't listened to, you should go and listen to Bubble. It's really, really
not
funny.
Right this second.
Well, not no, right.
Finish
now.
Listening to this. Listen to a couple back episodes of this.
Listen
to the hosts guesting on other podcasts.
Sure. Yeah.
And then maybe listen to some JJ Go as sort of a palate cleanser, and then listen.
And then
to Bubble.
Yes, then you may listen to Bubble after all that. So we, it's these characters in this kind of domed version of a hipster city, and they're kind of part of this kind of life or death gig economy where they have to, you know, kill monsters to survive. So, maybe the elevator pitch would be Search Party meets Guardians of the Galaxy if
wonderful.
Those are two things that people recognize. Mm-hmm. And we comic booked it, and it's coming out in July.
But it is available for pre-order now if you go to Jordan's website, or you can find it on his Twitter.
Are you shipping to Australia?
Yeah, so
not if I can
in
help
advance
it,
of this podcast,
I'll bomb every boat on Twitter.
No, you're going to get the boat stuck in the Suez Canal again. Going to re-jam up the Suez Canal. I asked my publisher, I emailed my editor and said, like, hey, I'm going to go on this podcast. They're Australian based. A lot of their audience is in Australia. How will people get the book there? And her response was, it will get there eventually.
Nice.
Wonderful.
So keep an eye out. Maybe if you are Australian and you do want to get it, it'll be available on Kindle and Nook. So if you want to read it on e-readers, that's available.
Wonderful.
And hard copies to come. And if you're in the non-Australian parts of the world, you can pre-order it. You can do indie bookstores. You can do Amazon, Barnes & Noble, local comic book shops. And I know those places really appreciate the pre-orders. So definitely hit up those indies and comic book stores if you got them.
Amazing.
Guys, would you like a – Jordan, we do a thing on this podcast that is universally beloved by listeners where I will describe what I'm eating or drinking.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Snack Report.
It's deep down professional.
It's a universally tolerated segment.
What have you got for us today, Ben?
Well, we've got an entirely liquid-based snack report. I'm drinking some filter coffee, which is a delight.
Did you make this filter coffee? Oh, that's him sipping the coffee into the microphone.
Good sip.
I did. I made this filter coffee. It wasn't like out of a drip. I have this little thing that's about the size of a cup itself, and it's like a funnel that you put a filter in, and then you put the coffee in, and then you let it drip into another cup. It's a two cup system. But I'm also drinking, and it's weird. It's a weird, guys. The funny thing is, I've been drinking fluids since I was probably alive.
You're a big fluid guy. That's something that I heard about you. They're like, oh, you're going to do Ben's podcast? Big fluid guy. Guy loves
fluids. Big fluid guy. Loves
it. He loves him.
I don't think I've ever combined these two fluids before. I'm drinking filter coffee with a little bit of milk in it. That's not the two fluids I haven't combined. Guys, trust me.
Mm-hmm.
I've done that before.
Sure.
But I'm also drinking some ice-cold carbonated water. So... like, and I'm going to tell you that the cold and the bubble and then the flat and the hot, it's not great. I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
It's a real mouth confusion.
Yeah, my gut reaction is that those two would not go great together.
Yeah. Well, you nailed it, Jordan, because they don't. The problem is I'm quite thirsty, so I'm going to have to keep doing it.
I know. You have no choice. You started, and you're going to want to see it through to the end. I get it.
It's a promise you made to your dying grandmother, Ben, that you would finish these two liquids.
Yeah.
Seemed like a modest request at the time, but now it's kind of a pain in the ass. Yeah.
And she didn't even ask for it. She didn't ask me to promise it. Michael, do you have one you want to kick us off with?
Yes, this is a podcast. We go through the week's classifieds and find the best and worst things available on offer. I'll put this one in the chat if either of you would like to follow along. It's just the top link.
Sure.
And it is entitled... this is actually from your... This is from Los Angeles, Jordan, which is where you're based.
Absolutely.
Wonderful Los Angeles. It's taken from Craigslist.
City of Angels. That's right, Jordan. That's that's both a city and a film. So
both of them star Nicolas Cage. Nicolas Cage stars in both the city and the film.
And this is under jobs, TV, film, radio, and video. And this is a casting call. Casting call for Stone Faces Slap Championship in West Hollywood. This was posted 2 days ago. Do you want to get hype and money? Casting males and females for Stone Faces Slap Championship. Stone Faces Championship is one of the most popular entertainment sports shows on YouTube with millions of views. It gives you an opportunity to get huge exposure and... win a money prize. This is very quirky and fun show. We're looking for like-minded actors to join our team as slap fighters. Let's get some fun, adrenaline and hype. Money prize for each fight up to $1,500. Send us your weight, height, phone number and full-length photo. The casting will be done the 2nd of May, 2021. Jordan, I guess I'll start with you. Do you have any interest in getting slapped in the face for $1,500? Would you consider this?
Here's my gut reaction is, you know, I mean, again, I don't want to brag about where my career's at. I don't really need the money. I could use the hype. Okay. I could use the hype, honestly. Just a general sense of hype in my life would...
You can't put a price on that either.
You cannot put a price on hype. It's priceless. I mean, especially, you know, a mother's hype, grandmother's hype. These are beautiful things.
How would you feel if your, like, publisher had booked you as a promo guest, not on this podcast, but at the Face Slap Championship? And they were like, Jordan, it's going to be really great. There's going to be a lot of people who want to get hit in the face who are going to buy Bubble. Will you go and do it?
I would. I mean, I guess my first question would be, like, is there a lot of crossover? Do people who like slap competitions buy a lot of graphic novels? Maybe they do. Again, I'm kind of new to publishing. So, you know, again, I don't know some of these things. Is there a connection between people who watch slapping on YouTube versus graphic novel buyers? I don't know. I don't know that. I can't say for sure.
Now, here's my question. And I'm not an LA guy. I never claimed to be an LA guy. You guys, you've known me for 15 minutes, Jordan, and you can say that I never claimed to be an LA guy. Michael, you've known me for longer. It's something that I really go out of my way to not do. So I say this
Have you guys been to LA for comedy or vacation or otherwise?
We took we do another podcast called Dragon Friends, which is a Dungeons and Dragons sort of live show that we do. And the people who make Dungeons and Dragons flew us to LA to do a show there. And we went once. I think you've been before, Michael.
Yeah, I've only been there for improv classes in Disneyland. So
and to get laid probably too, right?
Just like the if there's any more insufferable reasons to go to Los Angeles, it was to do several years of classes at UCB and also go to Disneyland a couple of times.
Been there. You're in a safe space.
I don't think I did LA sort of justice. Because when we went there, my son was like 6 months old and he wasn't really sleeping. And I said to my wife, I need to go to Los Angeles to play Dungeons and Dragons and leave you with a 6 month old child. This is something that needs to happen. And I feel very badly about this. And so it was a trip that was like, we were only there for about a week and it was really tinged with a lot of guilt.
Sure, because you felt like you'd abandoned your family to play Dungeons and Dragons.
Which in many ways, Michael, I had, and I think that it's kind of difficult to talk around that. so most of my memories, Jordan, of LA is walking around, what's that part of LA that we were staying in? It's like what's in the movie Chinatown, but I don't mean it's Chinatown. It's
a
like
a lot of Chinese people. They they serve a lot of their foods. Like, what do you call it? It's
a town type situation.
It's like when I think about LA in those like kind of classic detective movies, like lots of stucco houses. Where did we stay anyway? So most of my memories is like walking around this like really nice neighborhood and feeling incredibly guilty. But I lived in New York for about a year. So I do know of America.
Okay.
I know you guys have, streets and buildings.
Right. Well, maybe perhaps, you know, from listening to our stand up comedy that LA and New York quite different in some humorous ways.
I have no tell.
Can I just share something with you guys? I've just Googled Stoneface Slap Championship.
Yes.
And I've just discovered that if you were interested at all, this casting is a non-union casting.
Oh. I would hate to get in trouble with the WGA if I did some on-camera slapping. I guess elephant in the room, elephant on the internet is that this thing... is likely something that is also or primarily someone's fetish, right? Yeah, like, this is...
Oh, I hadn't even thought... We do so much fetish chat on this podcast. It hadn't even crossed my mind that this was sexual. I assumed that this was... I assumed this was more like YouTuber content.
Oh,
but, sure. I mean, of course someone is jerking off to this, of course. Of course someone's jerking off to this.
Yeah, I think there was a not to be the guy who half remembers a documentary on a podcast, because Lord knows that's pretty annoying. But yeah, there was a documentary a couple years.
I know what Tickle, you're talking about.
So there was
Tickle,
a, there's a,
right?
There was a Tickle fighting web video series that was like also, you know, pretty clearly a fetish, but kind of roped people in and with a kind of similar ad. It's just like, come get tickled on camera. It'll be a hoot. Have some hype, you know. And then it's like, no, this is a, and you know, obviously, like if you enjoy slapping and tickling, you know, God love you.
Absolutely,
more, do your thing.
More power to you. But yeah, I think it's interesting because there is an interesting thing there. If it's like, if they actually put this in the ad, that it's like, this is something that people are probably going to jerk off to, that would be more accurate, but probably a less successful ad.
Right, yeah.
But it wouldn't materially change what you did, which is turn up and get slapped, I assume.
Right.
Mm. But if you, because this is being cast in Hollywood, you know, and so obviously the people reacting to this, the people answering this ad are probably people that are, first of all, non-union members, but also they're people who need $1,500. So it's unlikely you're going to get any of the big Hollywood stars getting involved there. But can I just pitch you something, Ben?
Yeah.
For $1,500.
Sorry, is Jordan not part of this Shark Tank?
Well, I just don't want to sully Jordan's good name with this. And Jordan can get on this as well afterwards.
Thank you. But Ben, can Mr. Wonderful get in on it too? Can I go in with Mr. Wonderful for this? Shark Tank joke. I don't know if you guys have the same sharks over there. Maybe you don't. Anyway.
For $1,500, would you... What if it was like The Rock slapping you in the face? Would you...
I think The Rock slapping me in the face would cause my face to crumble into dust, Michael. I think that would be completely fatal.
Okay. Is there a celebrity who you... can we reverse it? Is there a celebrity you would pay $1,500? Not receive, but pay $1,500 to slap you in the face? Like maybe Nicolas Cage, probably?
I mean, no. If I got to choose the celebrity who did it and I got paid $1,500, I'd pick someone like Betty White.
No. Mm. This is you paying someone $1,500 now to slap you in the face.
Why do I have to do this?
I don't know. There's a gun to your head. Look, I don't.
What world are you conjuring here?
There's a mayor who's found an old bylaw in the town. You know.
This is rich world building. It's good. Okay, if what you're saying is this has to happen, that somebody slaps me and then I give them $1,500 and I get to choose who that is, or does the $1,500 not go to the person slapping me? Does that $1,500 go to a third party?
No, I think it goes to them. I think you're paying Nicolas Cage $1,500 to slap you in the face.
Well, he doesn't need the money. He's like Jordan Morris.
I might argue he does. The man has to make 40 direct-to-DVD cheap gangster movies a year. He certainly could use a little slap money. I know about Nicolas Cage's money problems because a couple years ago I went to his estate sale. He did an estate sale to pay off his IRS. I have one of his an old painting of his in my hallway.
What?
Is it a painting of him or is it?
No, it's called Sacred Geometric Shapes for Meditation. That's the name of the piece.
That's such an intense name.
And it is, isn't it? You know, it's kind of just this nice series of shapes. It's something you might see hanging in a yoga studio. It's pretty nondescript, but it used to belong to Nicolas Cage. I got it for $40.
Amazing. What was like the most expensive thing you saw at the estate sale? Was there anything that was crazy that everyone was bidding for?
That's a great question. There was a lot of stuff that was out of my price range. There were several suits of armor and there were several thrones. More than one throne. And I was like, oh man, if only I could buy this throne. one of these thrones, and no, they were too expensive. Sacred geometric shapes for meditation was about the only thing that I could afford in there.
Can you imagine being the IRS and being like, Mr. Cage, you owe us like $50 million in tax bills or whatever. And he's like, well, I don't know how I'm going to pay it. And then you just sort of going through his house and be like, well, Mr. Cage, you could sell one of your many thrones.
No, I could never do that.
Oh, like a pauper. Like a pauper, I'll sell my throne.
Oh, so I would just only have four or five thrones then?
That is incredible.
It was crazy. It really, like, painted the picture of a man who had an insane spending habit and bought really crazy things and now had to sell it all to strangers.
How long ago was this?
This is maybe a while. This is maybe 6 years ago, 7 years ago.
That's incredible.
How rich would you have to be, Jordan, to buy your first throne? Like, if you were worth, like, if I was worth $20 million, I'm pretty sure I would own a throne. But I wonder what the lower limit of that is.
Yeah, I guess, you know, I've taken every vacation. I've visited everywhere I want to go. You know, I bought my mom a new house. I've bought my sister a new house. Maybe.
Because also, if you're not throne wealthy and you have a throne, that's tacky. You know what I mean?
It's a problem. It's a problem, isn't it?
It points to someone who doesn't know how to manage their money.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Jordan, do you have an ad you want to read for us?
I do, absolutely. This one is from Craigslist, and it is titled Barnes & Noble. You can Google it. So here's the ad. This is from the Missed Connections tab, by the way. Missed Connections, where people go looking for love. It's from the New York area. Union Square specifically. Here goes nothing. We were upstairs in the manga section. You had Izumaki. I was considering Tomai, and I might be getting those names wrong. I don't want to go much into detail, but I find you attractive, considering we were both wearing masks. I just wasn't sure about the vibe you gave. When I approached you, I really wasn't trying to hit on you. I was genuinely asking a question I should have just Googled. You were right, however. I was trying to distract myself from battling with some anxiety. Oh, and I figured out you were just being helpful when you came back, but just in case you were trying to make conversation, feel free to respond. If this is you, please respond with the following. 1. What was I wearing? 2. What exactly were you telling me to Google? Boy, that's the saddest short story.
Oh my, okay, so to sort of forensically piece this back together, like a sort of sadness archaeologist.
Sure. CSI emotion. Yeah.
Did you guys watch the Hannibal, the short-lived Hannibal procedural?
Yeah, we got that here.
Did we get it here, man?
With Mads Mikkelsen as Hannibal and the, you know, guy he's paired up with is a like FBI guy with super empathy. So when he walks in and sees a crime scene, you see it in reverse. So he feels himself committing the crime. And I think that's kind of what we have to do here is we're here at the crime scene, which is the crime scene being this ad. And now maybe we need to back up and figure out exactly
they're wearing masks. I now realize that obviously it's pandemic face masks. Mm-hmm. Honestly, maybe it was because of the context, but my mind the first place my mind went was Guy Fawkes
mask. Right, yes.
Anonymous.
So what I think happened was that he saw this woman. I think it's a guy and a girl in that order.
Yeah, I don't see any
pronouns
in here, but I assumed that as well.
Well, there could let's be. Say...
Yeah, usually these ads are a man approaching a woman
and making that woman feel
a little bit weird.
It's very rare that you get a misconnection on Craigslist, which is a woman being like, I had an interaction with a man that I would like to have again.
Another one of those, please.
Exactly. So let's say a man saw a woman in a bookstore, went up and asked a question. She said, Google it, possibly adding, I think you're just masking your anxiety.
Yes, sure. Yeah. You were right, however. I was trying to distract myself from battling with some anxiety.
Which is like a cuckoo bananas thing to say to somebody.
Yeah, exactly. If someone asks you a question, hey, do you know where the anime is or whatever? And then they're just like, do you have really bad anxiety?
Like, whoa. So like, what sort of question could this have been? Because obviously, like, the first thing is like it's an anime question.
Manga. I misspoke.
But it could have just been like
anime. Don't send us emails.
A manga question.
We know the difference, okay?
Please, it could have been a manga question about some sort of finer point of whatever the person had in their hand. Or it could have just been like, you know, what's the capital of Ecuador?
I see you like manga. What's the capital of Ecuador?
In which case, Google it is a perfectly fine response.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I don't know. Do you have a bookstore called Kinokuniya in America, George?
We don't.
No. So Kinokuniya is it's a Japanese bookstore that came to Australia maybe like, I don't know, maybe 20 years ago or something. I don't know. But they are sort of the place you would go if you want to purchase like Japanese books and manga and stuff,
but
right?
But it's also a lot, like, it's a good, like, kind of indie bookstore. I would say that there is a very good chance that it will stock Bubble.
Sure, yeah. They do a lot of great comics.
Sure,
they do
lots
of other stuff. But specifically, if you're after sort of, like, if you're a weeb who's really into, like, Japanese stuff, head to Kinokuniya, you know, you'll be able to find all whatever. Backlogs of...
Are you doing an ad read? I don't understand what this is.
All the attacks on Titans you need.
If you need Naruto, if you need... whatever. No, I was just saying, because I'm not a manga guy, really, but just because of sort of being a nerd, you know, you're sort of manga adjacent for most of your life, right?
You come into contact
with these kind of things. You might be going there to buy some other comic books, and you go, I'm just going to have a look at the Japanese section, just because you feel...
Yeah, it's like how, like, Russian speakers can kind of understand Polish.
Exactly. It's like how... Yeah, nerds, you basically get the flavor. Like, you've watched
the flavor
enough,
of it, yeah.
You know, yeah, clips on the internet to be like, okay, fine. I've seen Ghost in the Shell. I guess I need to read a manga now. I need to read a Naruto. So I would occasionally, back when I was in uni, I would go to this, you know, Kinokuniya to buy comic books or whatever, and then would end up just browsing through the manga section. And I will say that everyone I encountered in the manga section was the most shy and the kind of person who would be horrified by the idea of a stranger coming up to them and being like, what's the capital of Ecuador? Do you know what I mean? I cannot think of a worse demographic of person to try and strike up conversation with as a stranger.
Well, I don't think you browse the manga section looking for chit-chat, right?
No. That's what I mean. That's why I'm saying that this person and this ad going into the manga section and then sort of striking up conversation and then trying to, after that, kind of romantically link up with this person. I think this person has misread this interaction entirely.
I would say, I think I agree with you too. I think that, you know, if you're looking to meet somebody in a bookstore, manga, that's a very high level of difficulty.
Sure.
But I think that begs the question, what's the horniest section of the bookstore?
Great question. I'm so glad you asked.
So great.
I think it's probably historical fiction.
Sure. So like the tanks of World War II or...
you're thinking of like Harry Turtledove sort of... I was thinking more like a book called something like The King's Other Woman. You know what I mean?
Oh, right. Yes. I guess I was thinking of like military yes. history books that you would get your stepdad for Christmas. What you're talking about is like stories about Randy Stable.
Sure. Yeah.
The Randy Stable Boy and yeah. the Ladies Butter
yeah,
Churn.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. What about like the, I would think as well, like that might be a great fiction section, but if you're a nonfiction reader, I would say like the self-help area, I think, would have some very horny people
okay.
in it.
Okay.
You know, like those people.
I think it's certainly a sweaty part of the bookshelf.
Well, you know those like books that are like, I guess they're like kind of thinly veiled as self-help books, but the kind of people who read them are desperate to have sex with lots of people.
Uh-huh.
So the book will be called like
about pickup artist books.
It's kind of that, but I think pickup artist books. I feel like if you're reading one of those nowadays, it's like, or ever, I guess it's kind of a bit like, you know.
But no, but I know what you mean. Like the jury is well and truly in on what they are.
Yeah.
Like maybe 10 years ago there was some grey area, but now I think we're pretty much all decided what they
are. Yeah, that's yuck, right? But there's a kind of book that is like it's called like 15 Steps to Being a Better Person or whatever. And then you open it up and the first thing is like, you know, to get your dick hard, you gotta run twice a day. You know, you're like, whoa, how did this happen?
I mean, some would argue that the better person is the one whose dick is the hardest.
I think what you've done, Hing, is you've made up a kind of book and then
gotten angry at it. No, this is a kind of book, and the reason I know
kind of a straw book.
The reason I know this is a kind of book is because years ago. I'm sure I've told you the story, Ben, but basically, this is back before streaming music, right? I shared my my MP3 collection with a, I would say, an acquaintance who was a tech at a comedy festival we did, right?
Sure.
I gave him my MP3 collection. After that, my hard drive died, and I asked him if I could have a copy of my MP3 collection back. And he gave me all of my music back, but also everything that he'd put in there, which was a series of self-help books, including some very horny books, right? And so I'd be like listening to some fucking indie playlist and it'd be like, it'd be like MGMT or whatever. And then the next track would be like, if you need to believe in yourself, I'm like, what the fuck? How has this happened? Just like a shuffle into like trying to reprogram my brain to be better and hornier.
And I would say
that'll kill the vibe.
I would say that was around about the time your career started taking off.
Yeah.
So.
And now I'm much hornier than ever.
Hey, do you guys want one to take us home?
Yes, please.
This is taken from a part of the internet called Facebook, all about Cambuslang, which I think is a place in the UK, possibly.
It's a town in Scotland, I believe. Yeah, so you can.
Town in Scotland.
Yep.
Okay, so somebody's just posted. I think it's like a community group, you know what I mean? It's like next door or whatever. To a certain individual who came by this afternoon and took a shit in our staircase. You know who you are. Our downstairs neighbor has a Ring doorbell. A Ring is capitalized, so I think it's a brand.
Right,
and has your face clearly recorded along with a person you were with. That's a nightmare scenario.
Let's just go ahead and put that little detail in our pockets for later. The person you were with, anyway,
an accomplice.
There was a second pooper.
You have time until tomorrow morning to come back and clean up your mess. I don't care what time it is. If you don't, the recordings will end up at the police. Make things right, or we will. There's an edit. So they put this up, and then they've decided that they need to add more.
Mm.
Edit. I can understand emergencies, and honestly, even in these COVID times, I would
best.
Let you in the house if you asked. But doing it on someone's staircase, we don't want to stir another controversy or lynch anyone. All right, good. I just want this to be cleaned up, and sadly, it's not a joke.
Wow.
That was from the All About Cambuslang on Facebook. Oh,
and that was sent in by Anna Rutherford. Thank you, Anna, for sending that in.
Thank you, Anna.
What a find. What an incredible find.
Yeah, I think the edit is very sweet. The edit paints the picture of someone who, you know, rightfully was pissed off that their staircase got shat upon. And then made the post and then felt like, I really came off like an asshole in that post. I need to go back.
And just,
I mean, I understand.
Angry.
Tough times. COVID's tough for everybody. You know, I think it's very sweet that they wanted to go back and like be less judgmental.
I think you're right. I think there's something like really kind of almost life affirming that we as a species can like have the thought sincerely. Was I too harsh just now on the man who shat in my stairwell?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I think that speaks to, like, a real desire to get on.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right, Jordan, that you've kind of isolated one of the most intriguing parts of this ad, which is the second pooper.
The second pooper. I don't know. It's weird if the person pooped, and it's weird if they didn't. It's both. It's weird.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. If they doubled up, it's strange that they did it as a pair. If they didn't do it, it's like, were you just watching? Were you helping? Why didn't you stop this? Like,
yeah. I think the only thing that it would be weird if there was footage of them doing, like, the only thing that wouldn't be weird if they were being like, what the, stop doing that. You know what I mean? If they were like, you can't.
Yeah.
That's, yeah. But other
than
that,
you know what this reminded me of, Ben?
Yeah.
Jordan, you probably wouldn't know this, but in Australia, about, I would say, 3 years ago, the biggest story in the nation, like the top story on the news every night for like a week, was a man called the Poo Jogger, which was a man who lived in, I think he was in Brisbane, and basically he was caught.
It was a very affluent suburb.
It was a real fancy part of the town. And basically every morning, this people were finding just a shit in the same place in their apartment. I think on their... in their apartment stairs, maybe, or something like that. And basically, everyone in the community kept finding these like random shits. Anyway, then finally, someone got a photo of him,
Jordan, if you are saying this, you don't know about this, I think you're being disingenuous because I have a Washington Post article. I'm gonna put in the chat.
Wow, I mean, I guess I don't read. I'm gonna click on this here. You've put it in the chat. I will say I don't regularly read the Washington Post, but I mean, it does seem like it made international news. Wow, the headline is "A corporate executive led a secret double life as Australia's poo jogger." Oh my
god! So go for a jog in the morning. They do a poo. Click on this link. This is. You'll see a photo of the man.
The photo of the man is poop. Is pretty terrific.
It's pretty iconic. He's in jogging material. He's in exercise gear. His pants are at his knees, and he's like a man in his 60s.
Wow! He looks like John Slattery's less charismatic older brother. Like, you could see a little bit of the old Silver Fox in him, but he's just had a tougher life.
Yeah, he did it.
This is something that was big on our Twitter. I don't know if it made its way over to Australia Twitter or not, but the op-ed article from the man that was angry that Disneyland had gotten too woke.
I did see that. He was the main character of Twitter that day. I remember that.
Yeah. So what was this?
I actually don't think I saw this. What was this?
Actually, okay. So I think I'm bringing it up because I think it's an equally good marriage of headline and photo. And I think obviously this pooper is perfect. He is making the face of someone who poops in public and doesn't give a shit. Hold on.
Of course. Yeah.
I remember, Jordan, that because it was one of those rare cases where an op-ed is so bad that it spawns multiple op-eds about it.
Right. Yes, exactly. It's the snake eating its tail of op-eds.
Yeah.
Sure.
Hing, when you went to Disneyland, did you find it suffocatingly woke?
I found it the most wonderful thing I've ever done in my life. I turned up being very cynical and being like, it's all corporations. I don't give a shit. This is going to be terrible. And then when I arrived at the hotel, I was greeted by Mickey Mouse. And I would say 75% of my brain was the joy part was unlocked, and which had not been accessed since I was 4 years old.
Yeah.
And I felt eternal happiness.
Because I didn't go on that trip, possibly because I'd burnt up any sort of goodwill with being able to go on frivolous holidays with going to LA to do Dungeons and Dragons. But the way that you talked about being at Disney World was like a way I've never heard you speak before.
Yeah, too happy. I think I might have found it. Is it an article from the Orlando Sentinel that we're looking at?
Yes, it is. That's the I think that's the paper
right,
in
okay.
question.
Oh, it's behind a paywall. They want what? This news organization wants me to pay to mock their article? Come on.
That's how they get you. You pay for it so you can dunk on it and get those likes.
The photo of him is incredible though, Jordan. He looks like and this shouldn't be possible.
Oh my goodness.
But he looks like a more smug John Lovitz.
Yes, that's a good way to put it. He's like a giant headed man in a like Disney themed like party shirt. And he is sitting in front of a, you know, little shelf of Disney trinkets. You know, an adult Disney fan. Nothing against him, of course, but
what's amazing about that photo is that he took it. Like,
yeah, he's like, this is the one.
This is the one. Oh man! Speaking of John Lovitz, Jordan, have you seen his cameos? Not the multiple brilliant cameos he does in television and film,
in like A League of Their Own, for example.
For example. I mean the service cameo.
And now that is what I want for my birthday. If anybody's out there listening, I want John Lovitz to tell me I stink on my birthday as Jay Sherman, the critic.
He really puts effort into them, or not. I don't know if it's effort, but he's really funny in them, and he just kind of rambles about one of them was he's like I'm giving a shout out to Angela. Who likes, and I can't remember what the movie was, but it's like, her favorite movie is this, which I was in. I have a question for Angela. What was that movie about? I read the script, and I said, what's this? It's great.
Yeah, just like a hilarious human. I maybe sadly wouldn't be shocked if he's come out with some bad takes or something, and I just haven't heard about them. But as of right now, I don't know about that, and we'll just say I love John Lovitz.
I feel like I'd know about that. I feel like if John Lovitz did something bad, I'd like not only would I hear about it online, but I'd like sort of sit bolt up. Right up in the middle of the night and sort of feel that there was a disturbance somewhere.
Well, look, I'm looking at his Wikipedia page right now, and in his corner, he did have a feud with Andy Dick.
But that's fine. That's absolutely fine.
That's pretty good. He accused Andy Dick of being involved in the death of a mutual friend and sort of...
But the other thing
he's done is...
I think he punched Andy Dick, actually.
Maybe. Anyway. I think according to this, there was a physical altercation at the Laugh Factory. In Los Angeles, which is a very funny
fun place to have a fist fight.
It also says he's friends with Sean Penn and Adam Sandler, so one good and one bad. And it says here he's a Democrat. However, he was an outspoken critic of President Barack Obama, who he described as, quote, a fucking asshole.
Oh, boy.
He's saying he had nothing and the guy ends up being at Harvard. He's the president of the United States and now he's like, fuck me and everyone who made it like me. So I would say political take there from Mr.
Sure,
Lutz.
Yeah.
I think that's one of those things that's too confused to be offensive.
Right.
Yeah, you're like, I think if I drill down this, I could really find what you meant to be mad and angry about. But where that I'm reading it, just says... Also, it's like, if he's saying it in his voice, it's a fucking asshole.
He's an asshole.
There's something
wrong with that. Yeah, that's fine.
He stinks.
Well, this has been such a delight. Jordan, thank you so much for joining us on this.
Yes, thank you for having me. This is such a... You guys are so funny, and this is such a funny premise. So, thank you for having me. What a joy.
Really looking forward to Bubble coming out on as a physical book, or indeed making its way through the Suez Canal to Australia eventually.
I'm really looking forward to asking somebody in Kinakunya where it is and having them say Google
making
it.
Them feel very Google it.
You work here. Listen, I think I need to backtrack a little bit. I think I mucked up the plug in a couple of ways.
Okay, okay. Hey,
I did not mention the creative team of this thing.
I didn't
write it and draw it myself. I wrote it with the great Sarah Morgan, a great comedy writer from the UK. Mm-hmm. The art is by Tony Cliff. He does the Delilah Dirk series. Beautiful art. Oh, the fights in this thing. The fucking fights are out of control good. The colors are by Natalie Reese. She does the Dungeon Critters series. Psychedelic alien trippiness. I love it. Great creative team. Also, you guys fucking set me up with a Barnes & Noble story. A Barnes & Noble, which is one of the places you can pre-order Bubble. I said nothing. I said nothing about it. I could have easily gotten in there with the cheeky, you know, Barnes & Noble is where you can pre-order.
Yeah, set it up. It was sitting there on the tee. And
I'm just here with my fucking finger up my nose, shitting in a stairwell.
You piece of shit.
Oh man, when your publisher hears this, they're going to be so mad, Jordan. They're going to be so angry.
Is that writer also involved in the podcast, or was she brought on?
So Sarah is Sarah's a longtime pal and collaborator. She did a lot of work on the podcast, and when the time came to do the graphic novel, I definitely wanted her involved because she did a lot of work, kind of like. Helping me shape the characters and the world, and just is a hilarious joke machine and a great pal. And yeah, she was awesome to work with, as was Tony and Natalie, two comics pros who kind of helped us with the comic book stuff.
Yeah, sincerely, I'm actually really interested in, like, I'm always interested when something has to become another thing. It's one of my interests.
Ben's very much into transmutation. Sure. He sits in his bar every evening.
Like lead into gold kind of stuff.
Lead into gold.
I'm going to nail it. No, but I'm just interested, like, you know, because a podcaster, I suppose, like this format is like a sort of, you know, a radio play. Is like such a particular format, especially with comedy, in where the beats are and where the joy is and where, like, what makes it work. And a graphic novel is also like such a particular format, so like it's definitely not a one for one thing. Like,
I'd say it's a much more visual format than the podcast, if I'm honest.
I would say so.
I think that's very fair. That's a very fair
very astute observation.
Very fair comment.
But yeah, I mean, like, how did you approach finding what worked about the idea in such a different medium?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the story is a very comic booky one. So I think it already kind of naturally I kind of feel like it kind of wanted to be that in a way.
Sure.
Like it fits in a lot of great ways. But also, yeah, you know, I think we had a great team, and like, you know, Sarah being from the UK writes a lot of audio sitcoms, so she kind of knew that world and was very helpful with the podcast part. And then, you know, Tony and Natalie are both, you know, awesome, you know, comics geniuses, so they kind of helped with that stuff. And then so I mean, I think it's just like, you know, figuring out what we liked about the podcast, the like characters and some of the jokes and some of the, you know, monsters, and then, you know, finding ways to kind of do them in comics, and also, you know, like, you know, adding some stuff that was like visual. Like, we have some wordless sections, you know, which like obviously you couldn't do on the podcast.
Yes.
But yeah, we have some stuff that's just visual. It's, you know, some stuff that's like in a character's head, some so I mean, I think we just wanted to make sure we did enough stuff that was like specifically for comics.
Sure.
You know, I don't think I've mentioned this anywhere, but I'll mention it here because I think it's really cool. There's a drug trip scene in the book, and Tony drew it in such a way to where you have to hold and rotate the book to read the text because it's the inside the character's head that's tripping out. So Tony has so many great ideas
that's
of how to kind of like do something in comics, but that also breaks it a little bit. So yeah, I think it's just like, you know, finding the stuff you like, the characters, the jokes, the story, and then, you know, thinking about what's cool about the medium.
Podcast was so funny, and I can't wait to read the graphic novel. Jordan Morris, thank you so much for, for chatting with us on Free to Good Home.
Thank you. Yeah, this is so fun. This is such a fun show, such a fun premise. You guys are cool. I loved it. This has been a blast.
Well, thank you, listener, and thank you to everybody who sent in ads, and thank you to everybody who's on the Patreon. Until next week, bye. If you like pina coladas and getting caught in the rain, if you're not into yoga, if you have half a brain,
even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.